That would be a Tim Wahlberg favorite there. Little Duke Ellington. How you doing, Tim?
I'm doing well. Yeah, Duke Ellington. That's stuff that I used to listen to as a kid. My mother loved that music, and she was a cellist at one point in time.
Oh, wow.
And used to take my twin brother and me, whether we liked it or not, and ultimately we came to like it, take us to the Chicago Symphony concerts, and it put a little class in us. And so when I got my Harley Davidson, I got a complete perspective from a biker to a cellist. So it's an interesting life, but Duke Ellington, good music.
Hey, you're on the energy committee. What in the world is going on with these robberies from the dark money groups?
Give me a little more context. I'm not
the oil pipeline shutdown and the payoff.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the hacking that went on, cyber attack that went on, and then the ransomware. And ultimately, of course, the president was unwilling to answer the question of what he knew and whether he had given okay to pay the ransom, the oil company paying that in order to get the pipelines open again. I hope it got past him somehow. That'd be the least offensive, but, if you pay a ransom, these people, they're going to do it again. We can see, in fact, I've got a bill Bobby Rush and I had last term. It didn't get all the way through to the president. This term, we hope it will and be signed, but it'll put a cabinet level position of undersecretary of cyber in the Department of Energy. So it'd be with former Governor Granholm. It would be under her. And dealing specifically with cyber issues and the hacking that can go on to disrupt our energy stream. But it's interesting also, and I say this a bit tongue-in-cheek, but I also say it seriously. We call these Russian actors that did this hacking, and that's not to say it was the Russian government, though I don't think much happens in Russia without the government being involved with it. But
yeah, I don't think so.
They hack in and they shut down a huge part of our nation with their fuel supplies, including airports, and we call it terrorism. But our president, President Biden, shuts down the Keystone Pipeline, and we don't call that terrorism. And that has impact of 110,000 jobs, millions of dollars, and energy independence for our country as well. So, I mean, these are the perspectives. We can scream about what these Russian bad actors did and how we had to pay a ransom to them, but our own government shuts down a contract that was signed and delivered for the Keystone Pipeline, and now they're standing in place and with the new energy secretary who opposed Line 5 in Michigan. Are they going to shut that down as well? And why do we call terrorists when we're having the same impact on our energy in Michigan and in the Keystone Pipeline out west that impacts all of us as well? So, and that was an international situation, the Keystone Pipeline, as is the international situation of Line 5 with Canada.
So you're equating those two stories?
I'm equating them, both of them. They both are causing disruptions, significant disruptions. But at least with this ransomware issue, it's going to be back online again, though we shouldn't have paid a ransom. But with the Keystone Pipeline, it shut down. And as long as this administration stays in, it looks like it'll continue to be shut down and won't come to fruition. Line 5, we still can fight, and we ought to fight it strongly.
There's many payoffs we don't know about also, Tim.
Yeah, and that again is why there needs to be transparency in government. I never oppose that. And when we see some of the stuff that has gone on with the bureaucracy, with the inner bowels of our government, whether it be the Justice Department, the FBI, or others, and we're talking about not the rank and file necessarily, we're talking about leadership, and more we're finding some things we ought to be concerned about. And we have to have answers here on the Energy and Commerce Committee. Republicans have asked for significant number of hearings, open hearings, into this pipeline issue out in the East Coast with Colonial. What happened, when they knew it, what they did about it, who was involved. And we've also asked the same thing for the Keystone Pipeline. Who got the payoff to shut that down? A number of things we're concerned with, and that's why big government is not the best government, but a government that's just enough to meet the needs of the people as defined by the Constitution is what we ought to be working for.
What about Pipeline 5 and how are our Washington lawmakers, are they involved in that? Are they getting their feet wet in that?
Yeah, we are. We continue to push on that. And the lawsuits that will be continue to come will take place. But that's a question we'll be asking the Energy Secretary next week, since Jennifer Granholm is heavily knowledgeable about Line 5 and has taken a position publicly in opposition to Line 5, as the present governor. I for one, and I think Fred Upton, I mean, I'm speaking for him, but I would guess that he'd like to know that as well, since he is the ranking member on the Energy Subcommittee, which I sit as well. So that hearing will take place next week. I'm looking forward to having the former governor in front of us, now Energy Secretary, and asking her questions. First of all, I don't think she knows much about energy. And her statements the other day about this fiasco taking place with the pipeline in the East Coast, the Colonial Pipeline, saying that this would not be a problem if we were all driving electric cars. Well, that's a flippant answer. And most people, especially middle class on down, aren't going to be able to afford an electric car. They're not going to be available for them. They're still going to have to drive internal combustion engine cars and trucks. And frankly, not everybody wants an electric vehicle. So that's the type of leadership we have right now. I'm embarrassed that she was a former governor of Michigan in an energy slot that I don't think she has an idea about. But she is in the place, and so we expect her to do the job and answer the questions.
What else is happening, Tim?
Well, we just had the vote on replacing Liz Cheney, and again, that's inside baseball. She was not being prohibited from taking the stand she took about impeaching the president. She can continue to take those, but the problem was, when you are the number three leader and actually the conference chair, you can't do that. You can't be so far off from the overwhelming majority of your team. You know, if a leader is leading in a direction and nobody's following, they're just taking a walk. And Liz had the opportunity, second chance that we gave her, to stay in that position. And I like Liz. Liz has come into my district. I've had the benefit of working with her. Her father campaigned for me in two occasions. So this isn't personal in that way. It's just an issue that if we're going to keep our eyes on the ball of pointing out what's going on in this country and pushing back on $6 trillion in the first 100 days that this president is spending and wanting to spend more. And if we want to talk about what's going on, the atrocities and human suffering at the border, and we want to talk about having security for our energy sources and push on those things, we can't be talking about in-house stuff. And so that's why Liz was removed from that position, and we'll see who takes her place, whether it's Elise Stefanik from New York or whether it's Chip Roy from Texas. Those were the two that were nominated and voted on this morning. I haven't heard the final outcome yet, but that's what's been taking place here, and I hope people understand that she's not been removed from any committees. None of the 10 that voted to impeach the president who were Republicans have been removed from their committees. That's a choice they make, and they stand or fall with their constituents. That's how it ought to be. This was an issue of leadership potential, and Liz, I think, forfeited that, sadly, because she was a great, great caucus chair on messaging and all of the rest up until this point. January 6th changed everything for her, and I wish her well as she continues on, and she's going to have to communicate to her district, which is all of the state of Wyoming.
She didn't.
And they will have fun.
She didn't get removed because she said the election was legitimate?
No, not at all. Not at all. She got removed because she walked away from the people she was leading. And that's a problem. If the majority had been on her side, she'd still be in that spot. But when you take a leadership position, you know, and I chaired the two subcommittees I've chaired in the last several years until we went in the minority. When I had the gavel in my hand, I relinquished some of my own independence in order to lead my subcommittee in doing the necessary and right thing to the best way possible. If I did not want to lead in that way and wanted to just chart my own course, even at the expense of walking away from the majority of my subcommittee members, then I shouldn't be that chair. But when you take leadership position, you give up some of your individuality because you have to find a way to get that center moving together, whatever that center is, in order to get things accomplished. And that's the only thing that Liz did. That's why she's not losing her committee assignments or anything like that. We're not censoring her. We're not taking her out. We're just simply saying she is not capable of leading anymore because she's walked away from the conference in overwhelming majority. And it hurt to do what we had to do, but had to do it because we can't have Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, and Liz Cheney standing up at a press conference and those two taking the position of the conference, and she gets up to the mic and takes an alternative position, and she's a leader. It doesn't work. My Republican colleagues always, or Republican constituents, many of them always complain that Republicans don't stand together, and the Democrats always do. They don't have this type of fight. Their leadership either pulls all of their membership with them or presents a unified force. So this was not a policy issue. This was a inside party political issue of a strategic nature that we keep our team together. It wasn't an antagonism toward Liz for taking her position. She had all the right in the world to take that position. I disagree with her, but we can still work together very well on almost every other thing. But this was the issue of her leadership. So hopefully now we're past that. We can move on, and she can keep her position. She says she's going to do it. She's going to do it from inside the party. She's not leaving the party, and I'm delighted about that. But now she's going to have to solidify her base back in Wyoming and then try to continue to work in a unified fashion on almost all of the issues. And I think she will, relative to our pushing back on what this new administration is doing so terribly to this country. The inflation that's going up right now, what's taking place at the border, the human suffering that's going on there, the loss of security, the whole issue of what took place with these pipelines, these things shouldn't be happening, and we have to push on that. And then the president wants to do away with all of the tax benefits that brought on the strongest economy in 50 years. Why would you do that? You would think a smart new president, seeing the type of economy we had and how it was working, would just simply have said, let's let laissez-faire take place for the time being and then call it our success. But they're doing the opposite. They're going back to what caused the problems back during the Obama administration that Trump had to work our way out of. And now we're getting back up. We'll be up $4 a gallon pretty soon of gas. That's what we got away from. And we got down to under $2 a gallon gas, and we complained when it got up toward $1.90, and we're going back up there. The cost of lumber, the cost of all sorts of things, inflationary rate is huge. And if you get this inflation going, Katie, bar the door, our country is going to be challenged again in a time when the rest of the world is going on. Then, look at what's taking place around the world with the battles going on over now in the Middle East. Do you think that would have happened had Trump still been in office with a strong position saying to Palestinians, we want peace in the Middle East? I've developed three peace treaties already in the Middle East with Israel. We're going the right direction. You're not going to mess it up. And if you do, we're standing with Israel. And it won't only be their bombs coming on you. We're going to be supporting them in the strongest way possible. Iran, Russia, the Palestinian Authority, I don't care about the people that are getting hurt. they're flexing their muscles and testing this new president and administration. And I think the administration is failing right now. But today, the CDC said I could take my mask off. I've been vaccinated. I've been COVID-aided.
You keep that on.
And I can take my mask off. So it hasn't been on all morning.
You keep that on. Stay safe.
No. No, I'm going to stay safe, but there's a reason why I took the vaccine, and there's a reason why I believe that we have to get back, open up our economy again. And the CDC said, this is science. I'm believing science. And the CDC said, we can take them off now if we've been vaccinated. And I've been vaccinated, so I'm feeling good about that today, and I'm hoping others will get vaccinated. And if not, that's their choice. I honor that choice, and if they want to take the chance, they can take the chance. But we are hurting kids in school, education. For some, will never be caught up because of what's going on. And then jobs, you know, paying people to stay unemployed, that's got to stop. I'm delighted to see Governor DeWine in Ohio now saying we're not going to take those supplements for unemployment anymore. My friend and colleague, who's now the governor of Montana, did that 2 weeks ago, said we're going to stop. We'll open up Montana. We want to be ready for the tourists. We want people on the job and the work site. And other governors are doing the same thing. Our governor won't, of course, but it is time. It is time to move forward. America is too great of a nation to hobble ourselves, hamstring ourselves in this way. It's hurtful, suicides, drug abuse, loss of purpose, loss of education, let alone the physical problems that were real. We worked through those. The vaccine is here, and now time to open up.
Congressman Tim Walberg. Tim, thanks for the visit.
It's an interesting visit every time, isn't it, to some degree? So thank you for giving me the opportunity, and be safe, but be free, and enjoy a wonderful, pure Michigan weekend.
Take care.